Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2016 consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group nine months 2016 results conference call. As usual, we will begin with an overview of the results before leaving room for a Q&A session. Since the beginning, we described 2016 as a transitional year in which we set one clear priority: to protect value by growing profitability and cash flow while offsetting foreign exchange rate headwinds for an estimated 40 million euro in EBITDA. The nine months results are the deployment of this strategy. Revenues were down 2% in organic terms. Excluding our selective actions on product portfolio and go-to-market strategy, which were expected to reduce volumes, underlying revenues were down by 1%. This figure still includes the downturn in the Middle East area, which I will discuss more later on, without which our revenues for the nine months would have been up by more than 1%. EBITDA grew significantly by more than 8 million euro, reaching 158 million euros, or 13.6% of sales, despite increased spending in advertising and negative exchange rates on EBITDA for 21 million euros. Cash flow generation was very strong, about 95 million euros over the past 12 months, and the net income improved by more than 15%, reaching 72 million euro. This is satisfactory if we consider the market weakness in the U.K., a very important market for the group, and a temporary contraction of our single-serve coffee business, which I'm very confident will return to be a strong growth driver beginning with 2017. Before reviewing more in detail the nine months result, however, I would like to focus on the main dynamics of a more complex quarter three. Revenues were down by 6.3% in organic terms before a heavy foreign exchange rate impact of -2.4%. We gave priority to value rather than volume and decided to use the market downturn as an opportunity to improve the efficiency of our product portfolio, cutting minor underperforming items such as microwave ovens, and to redesign our go-to-market in Turkey and Nordics, the two accounting for -6 million euros. These actions provide the group with an even more solid base for future growth. Revenue growth in the quarter was also affected by the seasonality of the comfort business, -9 million euros, with opposite trends between quarter two and quarter three. Excluding these factors, thereby still including all the ups and downs of the global markets, the underlying trend of our revenues was -3% in quarter three. As regards markets, we saw the continued positive performance of the U.S. and China, as well as a strong growth in Fully Autos and manual coffee makers and Braun. The Middle East, -13 million euros, was still affected by a weak market and a destocking activity to which we add our strict credit risk management policy. With the exception of Egypt, where important limitations have reduced our activity, our market shares in the region are resilient and will support our growth when the market stabilizes. Brazil, as well, continued to be very difficult, although we lost ground there. is not a key market in our overall growth strategy. I believe it's important to underline that the negative geographic trends should begin stabilizing with the first quarter of 2017, thereby unlocking the full growth potential of our business. Despite all of this, also in quarter three, we were able to improve our EBITDA margins, which stood at 13.1% against 12.9% last year. This leads me to our updated expectations for the full year. We had anticipated the market trends and the efficiency actions were going to affect revenues. Yet, the magnitude of the prolonged market slowdown leads us to revise our expectations on revenues for the full year 2016, while confirming our target to improve EBITDA in absolute terms. We now expect to end 2016 with approximately stable organic revenues as compared with last year. Looking at 2017, the group is confident to return to a strong organic growth of at least 5%, based on the success of Braun and the overall market strategy in the U.S. and China, continued positive trends in fully auto and manual espresso coffee makers, a new Nespresso Latissima product launch and a new distribution agreement with Nespresso, new products with Kenwood in juicing and vending, a progressively normalizing environment in some of the most troubled markets, and finally, an easier comparison base. With this in mind, I would like to briefly review the nine months results. At about 1.16 billion euro, revenues for the first nine months of the year show a decline of -4.6% reported and -2% organic, mostly on the back of a contraction in quarter three. The negative foreign exchange impact is mostly related to the Russian ruble and the British pound. Looking at the various geographies, the most difficult markets did not record any improvement. The Middle East, India, and Africa region was down by nearly 26% in the first three quarters. Three factors have explained the trend. However, surprisingly, market shares are well in line in all main markets. The three factors are a strong reduction of our activity in Egypt due to the lack of hard currency and the presence of import limitations, accounting for about one-third of the revenue decline, most critical. The destocking activity, mostly in Saudi, started at the end of last year, which is not helped by a slower sellout, representing another third of the negative trend, which could turn in the future opportunity. A prolonged slowdown and market decline in key markets for cooking and food preparation, following the very strong growth in 2015. In this scenario, the group kept a careful, strict credit policy and controlled the destocking activity without causing any disruption in market shares, which will support our growth when external conditions normalize. Sales in Europe were down by about -2% year-on-year on flat or flat in organic terms. In Northeast Europe, our performance was affected by the market trend in Russia and the United Kingdom, together with the commercial reorganization in the Nordics. This was mitigated by Poland and other Eastern European countries, where our revenues were up year-on-year. In organic terms, our revenue in Northeast Europe were up by 0.5%. In the Southwest of Europe, revenues declined only slightly, -0.7% organic, with growth in Germany, Southern European markets nearly balancing the revenue decline in Switzerland and Turkey. The revenue trends in Europe were affected by the temporary contraction in the single-serve coffee maker business, excluding which organic growth would have been positive. Again, I'm confident that single-serve espresso will continue to be a very strong growth driver in the future, beginning with 2017. The Asia, Pacific, and Americas region has witnessed a strong growth of the United States, the Greater China, Japan, and South Korea, even though the negative performance in Brazil and other countries resulted in overall revenues being down 2% year-on-year, but still up nearly 3% organically. Turning now to our revenues by product, coffee makers continue to be the main growth driver, being up overall despite the current difficult single-serve market and the challenging 2015 comparables. Here, I would also flag the very strong performance of fully automatic coffee makers and manual espresso makers, both up double-digit in organic terms. Cooking and food preparation continue to be negative. This performance is the result of the continued market weakness I already discussed and is only partially mitigated by the strong growth we are seeing in brown products and slow juices. Comfort products were marginally down on a nine-month basis with a meaningful seasonality, which meant a weak quarter three after a strong quarter two. Finally, I would mention the growth of ironing system in an otherwise stagnant ironing market. This is another area in which we are cutting some underperforming legacy product lines to improve our overall positioning. Moving on to profitability, we are pleased about our performance, which shows the resiliency of the business and the current market downturn. Improvements in pricing, positive mix, and the benefits on the cost side allowed us to more than compensate for the negative impacts of volumes and foreign exchange rates. Over the first 9 months of the year, the net industrial margin was up by more than 2 percentage points on revenues, reaching 49.3%. EBITDA, before non-recurring items, reached €158.2 million, up by 5.5%, and reaching 13.6% of revenues, improving by 130 basis points. EBITDA in percentage of sales was up also during quarter three, reaching 13.3% of revenues, up from 12.9%. As said, despite €21 million negative exchange rates at EBITDA level, EBIT grew as well, reaching nearly €118 million in the first 9 months of the year, or 10.2% of revenues, increasing by 1 percentage point. The group's operating performance translated into a 15.4% increase in net income, which stood at €72.1 million. Next, I would like to move to some key balance sheet items, starting with our net cash position, about €159 million at the end of September, improving from €64 million of the previous year, an increase of nearly €95 million. Our current net financial position is slightly lower than year-end 2015, in line with business seasonality as we prepare for the holiday season sales. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders improved by €108 million in the 12 months and was positive by nearly €198 million, up from about €90 million a year ago. On the back of a very strong operating cash flow generation and after continuous commitment in industrial investments. Lastly, net working capital in absolute value has decreased by more than €16 million over the past 12 months. As a percentage of revenues, this means a reduction of 0.8 percentage points, down to 14.3%. This positive performance is mostly explained by an improvement in the management of receivables. Now, turning to our expectations, the remainder of the year we see the continuation of our strategy to protect value and to grow profitability and cash flow. We confirm the guidance of growth in EBITDA in absolute terms in 2016, while expecting approximately stable revenues in organic terms as compared with 2015. The selective choices made on volumes provide the group with an even stronger base for growth, and we've unlocked the underlying ability to deliver organic growth, which stays strong when market turbulence will progressively fade away. Our proactive response to the current environment allows us to look with confidence at 2017. Growth in North America and Asia, continued strength in coffee makers, and the trend of normalization in some of the troubled markets will allow us to go back to an organic growth rate of at least 5%, in line with our long-term objectives, within an estimating neutral foreign exchange environment. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open for Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first questions come from the line of Mr. Langlet Nicolas of UBS. Please go ahead, Mr. Langlet.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one is on the EBITDA change in Q3 16. Can you comment the different drivers of the change year-on-year, I mean in terms of volume, price, mix, cost, etc.? Second question on Braun performances in Q3. Can you tell us what was the organic growth in Q3 and also if the relaunch in the US already impacted Q3 or it's going to be more in Q4? And the last question is on the EBITDA margin for 2017. If I look at the consensus figures now, it expects 50 basis point EBITDA margin improvement for next year. Are you comfortable with those estimates at this stage? And if yes, what will be the main drivers for the EBITDA margin improvement next year? Thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Langley, first question is the bridge on EBITDA for the 9 months. So, starting from EBITDA last year was probably 150 million for the 9 months. We have a positive impact on prices for approximately 16 million euros. We have cost reductions for approximately 12 million euros. We have positive mix for approximately 15 million euros. Negative exchange rates, about 21 million euros. Volumes down approximately 10 million euros. Other 2 million euros, bridging to 158 million euros EBITDA.
Okay, perfect. Just to confirm on the prices, it's plus 16, 1-6?
1-6.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Second question is about quarter three, Braun relaunch impact. Yes, has already impacted in quarter three. We expect to continue delivering growth in quarter four, but we have already got some positive impact in quarter three.
Okay, and for the full year 2016, what sort of revenues are you expecting from Braun only in the US?
For next year?
For this year.
For this year?
Yeah.
The U.S. Could represent about 15 million euros for the, let's say, the 12 months.
Okay.
You were seeking for margin guidance for 2017.
Yes.
It's a bit early, probably, to give guidances on margins for next year. I would say that the company has proved to have the ability to deliver margin improvements also with negative growth. Very likely, we will deliver margin improvements going back to our natural growth standards. It's a bit too early for me to elaborate on that, but I feel very strong about ability to deliver a positive margin expansion once that we will go back to growth. We are very comfortable about growing next year.
Okay. Just on the cost efficiency you had this year, do you expect to have additional gains in 2017?
Frankly, I'm not too concerned about that because we've done a great job. I believe that we are bridging to 2017 in difficult market environment. Next year, I'm very comfortable about growing. So that next year will be, as Americans say, a different ball game. We go back to growth, and I feel strong about expanding margins.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Pessina Nicolò of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, Mr. Pessina.
Hi, good afternoon all. Thanks for taking my questions. I would like to ask if you expect any other impact from the disruption in the distribution channel in the Nordics and in Turkey, and if you plan any kind of restructuring initiative similar to the ones to the one we've seen in the Nordics and Turkey in 2017. Secondly, if we can have an update on the impact of Forex on EBITDA for this year and next year. And finally, I would like to know if anything moving on the M&A front.
Okay, so the first question is about the restructuring. No, I would say that unfortunately, the quarter was heavily impacted in this restructuring. The timing was such that most of it occurred in this quarter. We expect a small impact in the last quarter. I would say we are almost through, if not totally through. For next year, I cannot disclose what has not been yet decided by the company, but it's not impossible that we maybe have some small restructuring. I would say that streamlining of distribution in one market is possible. It could be the impact maybe on total sales to be below 5 million euros. So, as an indicator, so I would say I'm too detailed given, let's say, the magnitude of the impact. But I would say maybe one market, not more than 5 million euros. First question. Second question. Effects of next year, I think that this 2016 was the horrible year for the exchange rate. We expect small impacts for next year, as we have already progressed on hedging for next year. So we think that next year should be a less turbulent year in terms of impacts on EBITDA. Very, very small.
Sorry, if I may, small in negative or in positive?
I would say it can be slightly negative, slightly positive, very small impact. So.
Thank you.
But I think rather stable. The third question, if I'm not mistaken, is about acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
We we are looking into opportunities. We are looking to opportunities, and by the time being, there is no deal we can announce, or we think we are very close to an announcement.
Okay, thank you so much.
But we recognize ABDA would be a very important tool or aspect within the long strategy in the future. So we believe it's very important to get M&A as a important element for creating growth at De'Longhi. And as you see, also cash generation is very strong and continued. And therefore, we will be in a good position also to properly fund significant acquisition in the future.
Okay, very clear. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Premi Filippo of Kepler. Please go ahead, Mr. Premi.
Good afternoon. I got three questions, if I may. The first, are you planning to pass any other price increase next year? The second, if you can give us an indication on the volume of factoring in the first 9 months of the year compared to the 9 months of the past year. And the third, if you can give us some more details on the decline of the machine for the coffee, the capsule coffee machine, and why you are so confident into a change of this trend in the next year. And I would like to add another one, if you can confirm the impact on Forex on the EBITDA for this year at minus 40 million. Thank you.
Okay, so price increases, I would say that most of the price increases have been already completed. I say probably maybe if pound continues to deteriorate, probably England it will be monitored and maybe price increases will be passed on in the UK, although we have already passed a significant price increase this year also in the UK. But I would say most of the price increases have been done in 2016, so next year will be for De'Longhi and overall stable year. We don't need the price increases to deliver a profitable growth. Second question is about factoring securitization is up September 2015 was 100 million euros. September 16 is 105, so it's up 5 million. The third one is about the decline in our capsule market. And this is, I think, is we had a very tough comparison with Latissima last year. This year is the launch of a D-range. So basically, most of the in-store activities were focusing not on proprietary De'Longhi products like Latissima, but of on products which are also distributed by other brands. Therefore, we had a natural decline, so less sales on Latissima, and we just captured our fair share of the market on the new range. Therefore, is causing a decline. But next year, we will launch the new Latissima. It's a very innovative Latissima. We feel strong about it. Will be introduced in September. And on top of that, we will start a distribution of Nespresso in North America. And also, we will start a distribution in Switzerland. So we will gain other two very strong markets. I would say that adding the new Latissima and America and Switzerland, we will more than compensate the lost ground in 2016. But what is more important, and really I take the opportunity of your question, is that capsules will continue to be a very strong growth driver. We feel very strong about capsule machine growth. Nespresso and Dolce Gusto have very strong positions. We are partnering up, I think, with the best-in-class partners in the industry. They're very committed to growth. And I think that when we will, let's say, go through a more difficult year, in which we also have promoted a little bit less our machines, we have also protected value there, we will be showing stronger positive growth again for the long term. And the fourth question is about the negative impact on EBITDA on the full year. We still think it will be around 40 million euros.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Ghilotti Domenico of Equita. Please go ahead, Mr. Ghilotti.
Good afternoon. My question is related to the trend in your market share and your attitude toward market share in 2017. In particular, you were, if I'm not wrong, you were commenting before referring to the specifically to the Middle East region where you saw a decline in sales but stable market share. First of all, I'd like to check if this was related to just this area and if you can elaborate also on the trend for the other areas. And looking at 2017, my question is if you are looking at the fact that you don't have any additional FX headwinds to push to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of prices, in particular in the cooking segment.
Next year we will focus on growth again. So I expect we'll be able to have some market share expansion. As you correctly said, the MEA market shares are fairly stable this year already. We will go back to growth next year, and I think we can grow faster than the market. I expect some market share gain. On FX, we said it would be fairly neutral in the next year. But we don't change our strategy. We have a consistent strategy for next year. We will not use the margins to gain market share. We will invest more in advertising. We are already investing more in advertising. We will invest more in advertising to capture growth in a new product segment and accelerate in geographies where the group today is probably weaker, like the United States. So we will not use the price lever next year. We don't need to use the price lever. We are, as said, we are showing a negative growth this year. But it's because of MEA, it's because of transitional year and tough year maybe on capsules because of the Latissima and the situation, but we have a new Latissima next year, and I feel our market share are pretty good. I don't see any significant decline in market shares, and therefore I think that the strategy, although not an easy execution, has been the right strategy, and I'm happy with what we're doing, and next year we will be able to showing again growth and profitable growth.
But what about, sorry to interrupt you, but what about the cooking in particular? Because you have been quite clear in providing the drivers behind the expectation of a recovery in growth in coffee. Can you also elaborate a little bit more on next year drivers for cooking and on the other way, the reason for the decline of this year? So you were mentioning MENA, but the Middle East, but you were also commenting about competition that is probably going to last also next year. So what is driving your confidence for recovering market share next year?
Cooking, you mean cooking or food preparation and cooking?
Well, broadly speaking, cooking, then, food preparation and cooking, that is the category that we're commenting okay. your nine
yeah,
months.
Yeah, exactly, because we are much stronger in food preparation than cooking. However, we have healthy fryers, we have blenders and power blenders, and we have slow juicers. These are the new opportunities in terms of new products. And also, we have recently we're launching the Multi Cook, which is a cooking food processor that will be is being introduced in France, for instance, now. So these are, let's say, the four main products. We will invest more in advertising, and also we will continue to support our kitchen machines with a new kitchen machine range in 2017.
Do you think that the situation in the trade, the stock in the trade, is say cleaner at the end of this year compared to last year?
Sure. Frankly, yes. With the exception we had in the Middle East that is already in the numbers. As of now, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any sign of overstocking at trade level.
Okay. May I just ask a more general comment on the situation in the UK, so on the consumption trend in the UK. How do you see the situation there?
UK is weak. We see market is declining. Let's say double digit in some product categories. But we feel we are stronger. We think it's temporary, and people will continue to buy appliances. Maybe they are a little bit worried, but I think next year the market will stabilize. And I think the group has a very strong position, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Boccaccioli Luca of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, Mr. Boccaccioli.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. My first question is on the balance sheet and more precisely on the cash flow generation, which in the 9 months was very strong and approximately the same you delivered in 2015. So I was wondering what should we expect for the last part of this year, which usually is the strongest in terms of cash flow generation. The second question is on the guidance for the top line on 2016. You mentioned a flat like-for-like growth, which basically implied a quite significant recovery in the fourth quarter. So a reverse from the -2% to probably +2%, +3%, if my calculations are correct. So I was wondering if you can give us more details on the driver which leads you to give this kind of guidance. And finally, my third question is on Egypt. You mentioned that it was responsible for a big portion of the top line decline in the quarter, and how do you see this market trending in 2017, and how did you factor this trend on your next year guidance? Thank you.
Okay, first question on cash flow. I think we had a stronger cash flow in the past years. I think that is a sign that is the result of good profitability, is the result of good working capital management. Investments are fairly stable over the years, and therefore I feel comfortable that we can continue to deliver strong cash flow in the future. Maybe next year we will have to fund growth, which will be maybe negative news on cash flow, but overall positive news for the company. But I still think that we can continue to deliver cash flow, positive and strong cash flow in the near future and next year in particular. The drivers of recovery in quarter four, I expect the negatives to soften and to have the ability to show our underlying growth drivers, like fully automatic coffee machines, like Braun in North America, and therefore, to hit the target, the year-end target we are giving of stability or like-for-like revenues, year-on-year revenues, we just have to deliver 20 million, approximately 20 million growth, which is not huge. If we see stability for the first time in the year in the Middle East, if we see a better performance in Nespresso and capsule market, so I think that obviously it's a change in the trend. We're coming from a more difficult quarter, but it's not too complicated. I think it's really possible. However, we feel strong about next year. Next year, we definitely believe Middle East will be an easy comp, will be more stable, and then we will kick in with the new capsule machines in the second half, and the new distribution agreement with Nespresso in North America and Switzerland. So the two classic growth drivers for De'Longhi will continue to deliver growth for us, while for a number of reasons in 2016 the two engines were reduced or negative, actually were negative. Then, last point about Egypt. The issue in Egypt is we have very valuable distributors, very good distributors. Market shares are very strong. Unfortunately, importing requires documents and also availability of export currency of euros and dollars. This is really a strange situation to face in 2016. But again, unfortunately, this very socially unstable and difficult markets have to face such issues. And we hope that we will have the opportunity to our distributor will be able to find the solutions. However, impacts possible impacts because of Egypt for next year can be ranged between negative I think 1 or 2 million euros, no more than that. So most of I think the hit was already taken in 2016.
Great. Thank you. Very clear.
It's really a pity because our brands are very strong in Egypt. Our products are very successful in Egypt. Our distributors are very good companies. We have issues in cash, and frankly, we don't want to be. We could deliver, but we don't want to deliver if we are not paid. Unfortunately, we are very strict. I think this is the other side of the coin. You see a strong, tight working capital management. On the other side, sometimes we might lose opportunity in unstable markets.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ms. Patrice Anna of Berenberg. Please go ahead, Ms. Patrice.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Well, thank you for all the information. Quite a few questions from my side, so maybe if I can start with some and I will continue later on. First of all, just to come back on the follow-up question from my colleague, if I look at the organic growth, the flat organic growth expectations for 2016, I see that implies 3-4% organic growth in Q4. So what should support it? Is it Brown in the US? Is it the new launches in Kenwood? Is it a bit of easing comps in Q4 last year? That's and what is the current trading? How do you see October coming up? Then question on again on the margins in Q4, given that you will come with some growth in Q4 2016, then should we expect stable, slightly improving margins, or do you think that will be significant A&P support, especially in the US for Brown, so that you expect the margins to be under pressure? How should we think about the Q4 margins, given it's the key earnings contributor? On the foreign exchange, you said that it should be around 40 million. I think in the past you were talking more about 45 million, so there's a bit of better expectations. Is that correct? And then I was surprised to hear about the distribution agreement in Switzerland with Nespresso, so maybe if you can give a bit more details, because Switzerland is a mature market. I thought that Nespresso has a stable partners there, so did you win at the expense of someone? So then who has lost the distribution, and what were the reasons for that? And what do you see as a potential sales impact for you in Switzerland? And why this is of interest for you to distribute in Switzerland? Another question is on M&A. If you can say a couple of words on which areas you're focusing, on which categories. I understand that the US, America is of interest for you, but for example, SEB was also trying to buy there something for quite some time and nothing happens. So do you really think that something can occur in the US, or you think that we should expect the acquisitions in other areas? And what about categories? What categories you would love to add, or what categories excite you the most? So that's for the starting. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, growth on quarter four. Quarter four, I believe we should see, we hope to see improvements in our capsule business, which was very negative. We expect to see more stability in Middle East. We expect an acceleration also thanks to coffee machines. In general, we see opportunity in France in cooking and with Kenwood. Also we expect Brown to continue to deliver growth in North America, but even in Europe, and not only in coffee or food preparation, but also in ironing systems. So there are many upsides. Also, we are expecting to deliver some growth in comfort products. And all in all, this make us think that to be able to offset the gap that we have in the first 9 months is an achievable target. Obviously, we need to have a changing trend, which unfortunately was negative till September 16. Also, we are improving investments in marketing. So also we will support better our best products with more campaigns. As an example, we are running a TV campaign in Italy now in ironing, and we will also do more investment in marketing on Braun, but even in espresso makers, and then on supporting also the Kenwood products. This also, I can maybe bridge to quarter four. So for sure in quarter four, we will have more costs in advertising. But at the same time, we expect better sales, so to deliver growth. So I feel that we should be able to deliver at least some, say, margin expansion, and so I feel comfortable in confirming that we should have a EBITDA improvement on a yearly basis. The third question is about Forex. Yes, I remember in the past we spoke about 35 million euro headwinds, but sometimes we spoke also about 45 million. So I would say that probably in average, a more 40 million expectation is probably the most accurate estimation of a full year EBITDA headwind, exchange rate headwind. About Nespresso on Switzerland, I agree, is a more mature market. So we don't think will be a very growing market. Swiss will not be a very growing capsule market in the future. But we will strengthen the group position. So we will add another strong leadership. Maybe besides fully automatic coffee machines and traditional pump machines, we will also become the leader in capsule systems. So vis-a-vis the retailers, we will have a very strong position. So I agree, it maybe is a stable market. We will add, probably we will capture, we will gain 5-6 million Swiss franc incremental sales, probably not growing long term, more stable, but we will become an even stronger leader in Switzerland, which I think is a very important element to reinforce the De'Longhi Group position. The last question is about M&A. Indeed, priority by geography would go to Asia and USA, because we are weaker in Asia, and we are also not strong enough in USA. But we don't rule out a good acquisition in Europe if we see a good, a good product match, or the opportunity to add to our product portfolio another strong brand. We like adjacent product lines. Could be food preparation, could be beverage, could be ironing, could be vacuum cleaners, could be shaving. I mean, we like to have products which are complementary in the same distribution channel as a priority. Can you hear us?
Next question. I'm sorry. We have a follow-up question from Ms. Giliotto Domenico. Equita, please go ahead.
I have a question on, you are commenting on the capsule business softness in 2016. Can you provide us with a rough indication, with an order of magnitude of the decline that you are expecting in 2016 from this category? And if you think that the old categories, the old coffee category, can be a growing area thanks to the performance of the fully auto and pump machines? Or if you still a decline, if you see a decline.
Yeah. In 2016, we are down approximately 18 million euros, and we so far 18 mm-hmm. million euros on capsules. But again, it's a big number. But we strongly believe that next year, thanks to the new distribution set. And also the relaunch of Latissima, we will able to more than offset that.
This 18 is just related to the capsule business?
Yeah, just related to capsule, because the fully autos are growing very strong, and also traditional pump.
And the coffee and the category as a whole, 9 months was up? Or
Overall still positive, despite this very negative impact
okay.
on capsules.
Thank you.
We'll give the floor back to Ms. Patrice Sun of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Can I just a couple more questions? If you can comment on the current trading, so the month of October, have you seen any improvement already in the current trading, or you count on the improvement in November, December? Another question is on the Middle East. I understood that it was down like 30%. Do you see the market weakness more like on the sell-in or on the sell-out? So was it more the inventory clean-up and then now it's all done, or it's also the consumers are not buying? On the new categories that you were mentioned on the cooking, you know, multi-fryers, et cetera, can you let us know a little bit how big are the markets or how big is the opportunity there for you? So in terms of, you know, mid-term opportunities, how much of revenues could that be for you? And also in the short-term and long-term, do you think that those categories, they are as profitable as, let's say, the coffee segment, or the gross margins are not as high and you still need to spend more on the marketing to attract the customer? On Braun, how big is it in China or in Asia, and what are the plans for you there? Because I understand that now you're focusing on the U.S., but I understood that it's also interesting for their Asian development. So if you can also comment on your plans here. And the last question on Egypt, so it's roughly 30% of sales. So I think that already in Q1 you were mentioning that you stopped selling there because of the currency issues, etc. So does it mean that next year then we won't have this already in comparison basis, so that e-commerce will become easier? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe one by one. October trading, say that we current trading is such that is in line with our new targets that we have set. So we believe we are setting the new guidance based on what is the current trading. So far, we think that trading is such to let us believe that we should have a rather stable sales revenues year on year, or act like for like. Second question.
Sorry, Fabio.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I interrupt you? When you say that it should be flat, like for like, should I exclude again the changes on the distribution line, like on for Egypt, etc., or it should be flat including those changes, i.e. no?
Including the changes. So I'm saying flat just including exchange rates. Like
okay,
for life.
Understood. Yeah, understood. Thank you.
Not the adjusted. Really. Okay. Second question is about Middle East. Yeah, Middle East, we said there is a number of reasons. We have destocking activity at our distributor level and also at the retailer level. We believe, we estimate this to represent about one third of the decline so far. We think also we have some negative impacts because of the market trends. Probably we think also it's impacting for about one third of our decline. Plus we have some specific issues that are related like to Egypt or specific markets, which are say bridging to 100% of the decline. As really we saw recently, our sellout activity. We buy data on a monthly basis data on the market trends. We see our market shares are pretty resilient, so we have reasons to believe that as soon as the pipeline will be cleared and normalized, we should see a pickup in our sales. But the pickup has to take in consideration a slowdown of the market, because the markets tend to be negative. So, we believe that things will normalize sooner than later. We incorporate in our guidance also the fact that it should normalize also in quarter four. Then if we go back to the third question, the new products, we said we want to grow in more segments. I mean, the DeLonghi success story is very much linked to the success of coffee, the success of kitchen machines and food processors. We believe that there is an opportunity for the group to accelerate in many new segments, and the new segments are the multi-cooker, multi-fryer, are the blenders, are the juicers, are the ironing as new product lines, using Kenwood, using DeLonghi, and using Brown brands in the different segments. So we will invest more in advertising, which is already happening as of now. And it's possible that these categories will have lower margins compared to espresso. Espresso is a very high margin segment for DeLonghi. We are strong leader. We are number one in this segment with very high volumes, and I think our industrial know-how is also allowing to have really very strong margins here. So I expect to have lower margins, but we are not speaking about much lower margins. So I think we will anyhow be able to continue to deliver, if we grow, operational leverage. We search to continue to expand our EBITDA, even if the new segments and the new product lines might carry lower gross margins. Brown, we said, is still small in China. I don't want to give too many details also for the competition or for to disclose too many numbers about Brown. Brown is still small in China. But has a tremendous opportunity to grow. It's a very well-known brand. But again, the growth opportunity is still in European style products. So we cannot expect to have the volumes that China can offer, can deliver in rice cookers or soybean makers or induction hobs, which are the traditional small domestic appliances for Chinese. Egypt, yes, you're right. It's a tough market for the reasons that I've already described. It's not easy trading there. It's difficult to find hard currency. It's difficult to have the licenses for importing goods. Unfortunately, we got already a huge hit this year. So unfortunately, there's very little to lose next year. So, and it's a pity because we have, as I said, good brands, good products, good distributors. We should be very successful there. And I hope that we'll be able to cure very quickly this. But there is very little to lose. And as I said already before, maybe we can lose 1 or 2 million, not more than that next year. So the negatives, the risks are very low. And the opportunity is big if we go back to normal. But today, I'm frankly very skeptical about Egypt. I think that we have not solved in a stable way these issues, and I expect we don't expect a major pickup in Egypt.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Mr. Langlet Nicolas of UBS. Please go ahead.
Again, I've got three follow-up questions, please. The first one is on the full auto segment. In which countries do you see the strongest growth over the first 9 months this year? Second question on Italy. You mentioned non-recurrence of a loyalty program in Q3. Can you quantify what was the impact? And first question on Procon Electronica. What will be the impact in terms of sales and EBITDA in 2017? Thank you.
Okay, the first question is about Fully Auto. Frankly, Fully Automatics are very strong everywhere. So, strong growth everywhere, with the exception of Italy, where, and I frankly I didn't even mention the negative impact of the loyalty program because we didn't want to repeat it. And it has accounted for about 4 million euro in quarter three. Yeah, four million euro in quarter three.
Okay.
And then the last one about Procon. Procon can have maybe a 1 million euro EBITDA in 2017. Okay. And on revenues is approximately, say, 25 million in third-party sales. No, because, you know, we have captive sales and third-party sales. We think the third-party sales on an yearly basis can be around 20, 25 million maximum.
Okay, it's clear. Thank you.
Mr. DeLonghi, there are no more questions registered at this time. Thank you.
Thank you for attending the DeLonghi third quarter results conference.